Amen. Well, it's a joy to be in the tabernacle tonight. It's certainly good to hear the good singing tonight. Appreciate that, the good music. That always helps lift a service. If you've got anointed singing, now don't ever take the place of preaching, but it'll sure help. I heard one preacher said this, said you can't build a church on singing, but you can't build much of a one without some of it. Amen. Amen. I don't know if that's 100% accurate or not, but I've been a few places. I wish that I had some. Amen. Amen. And if you travel around, and a lot of times they announce they're going to have special singing, and after you hear it, you're wondering what in the world was special about it. Praise the Lord. But anyway, I know we do the best we can do. All of us do, and I appreciate folks who do that, and I appreciate the Lord. Appreciate these preachers that are here tonight. Good to see some that I don't get to see very often. Brother Hobbs, good to see you and the folks, and Sister Hobbs. Now, Sister Hobbs is from up in our country, praise the Lord. She learned to play the piano up there in Tennessee, didn't she? Praise God. But anyway, I appreciate them, and good to see Brother Mashburn. Good to see Brother Amos over here. Brother Mustin, I don't know where he got to. He's back here somewhere. Right here. How could I miss that? Praise the Lord, right here on the front, praise the Lord, the legendary Charles Mustin, praise God, amen. He used to stand down there in the field one day and they built a church around him, and he's been there ever since, is what I heard. I don't know, been there a long time, amen. Amen, I appreciate all these preachers, and I appreciate God's men. In these days, what men of God are attempting to do in these days is becoming more and more difficult. The currents of this world is against us in a greater way than we've ever experienced it. And we are becoming, and we have quickly become, the minority in their nation. Well, thank God for a few pockets still around in this country where God's presence is. And still preach the book, believe the Word of God. And I appreciate all of the men of God that are here tonight. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Psalm, chapter number 16. Even good to have some folks from Mountain City here tonight. They're just up the road from us, and they got kinfolk down here. And they came this may be their first time hearing me preach, and they drove all the way from Mountain City down here to hear that. Now you think about that. I think they just came to visit family, but we're glad they're here tonight. Psalm, chapter number 16. And I want to give you just a simple thought tonight, and I hope I can be a blessing to you. Psalm chapter 16, and I want to start reading in verse number 5, the psalmist David writing. And David says this, he says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, and I ask you, Lord, that you'd enable us tonight in this place, that we might bring the message, God, that you've impressed upon our heart for this hour. Lord, you know our need greater than we do, and I pray, Father, that you'd take the word of God, encourage your children tonight. Lord, encourage these preachers tonight that are here in this place, and Lord, help us, Lord, that we'd be found in the fight, in the battle in these last days. God, I pray that you'd give us strength and encouragement, and Father, I ask you now to meet every need that might be here in the meeting tonight, and Lord, we're going to give you praise, honor, and glory. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. In the reading tonight of the scripture that I've read, David begins in verse 5, and he said, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. And thou maintainest my lot." David's talking about his portion, and he said, everything that I am and everything that I ever hope to be is found in the Lord. Tonight, there's nothing without the Lord. What would we have tonight? If we didn't have the Lord in our life, we'd be like most of this world. They're just wandering. They're tossed on the sea. And we'd be in a difficult strait tonight if it wasn't for God. David understood. He said, everything, when you look at me, he said, he's the portion of mine inheritance. Matter of fact, he's the only reason I've got the promise of something on the other side. He's the only hope that I have. And he said, he's the one. And I like this. He said, and thou maintainest my lot. I'm glad that when the Lord saved me, he didn't say, all right, now I'm saving you. Now you keep it and you take care of it. The fact of the matter is, he knew I couldn't save myself and he knew I couldn't keep myself. So he said, I'm going to save you and I'm just going to take care of it. Amen. You just walk with me and love me and I'll take care of it from here. Amen. I'm glad for that. And David comes down, he said in verse number 6, he talks about pleasant places. He said, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of places on this planet tonight that are not pleasant. Matter of fact, there are people sitting behind jailhouse bars tonight, and it's not a pleasant place. There are people tonight, even in the cities of our nation, where they're riding in the street, and that's not a pleasant place. But you think about it, in a nation that's in turmoil tonight, because you're saved by the grace of God. God brought you into a pleasant place tonight. God brought you into the fellowship of the people of God where you could enjoy the Word of God and the presence of God. And I'm glad he's led me into some pleasant places. David talks about that. And then in verse 7 he says this, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. In other words, David said, when he saved me, he put something in me that in the darkest days of my life, he said, my reins instruct me. He said, when I don't know which way to go, there's something inside me that tells me which way to go. I don't know about you, but every now and then, you know what? When I think about that inward part, the Holy Spirit that God gave us, and he put it in there to guide us through the journey of life. We come down here finally, and I look in verse number 8. David makes a proclamation that is one of great magnitude. He said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty emphatic statement. Matter of fact, that's a pretty bold statement that David makes. He said, because I've set the Lord before me. In other words, I got my eyes on him. And because he's at my right hand, the right hand signifying authority and power. He said, I shall not be moved. Now, David didn't make that statement within himself, because David understood there were enemies out there that were doing their best to move him. David understood there were some battles that within himself he had no power to keep from being moved. But David understood this. He said, as long as the Lord is before me, and as long as the Lord is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. When I was a kid in school, we used to play a lot of games on the playground. Some of them I enjoyed playing, and some of them I didn't. And there was one game in particular that I got involved in, and I didn't care much for it because I always got on the team that lost in that, and I kind of like winning. I'm kind of like Trump on that right there. I kind of like winning, amen. And I'm like the brother said, vote for the crook of your choice, amen. Whatever you want to do. But anyway, there was a game called a tug of war. And in the tug of war, what you had was two teams. You had one group over here and one group over there, and they had a rope. And the whole object of the game was to see which crowd could move the other crowd. I always got on the puny crowd. I got on the crowd that didn't have no weight. I got on the crowd. And now I know this is going to be hard for you to believe, but I was skinny as a rail when I was a kid. I know, well, the Lord's blessed me. He's made me fat. Amen. Amen. I read in the Word of God where it said God's people be made fat. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I say to you, praise God, I still believe gravy is one of the major food groups, praise God. Amen. But anyway, in that game, the tug of war, there was an object. Matter of fact, I brought a rope with me tonight, and I said, I'm gonna just illustrate this thought tonight. Do you realize tonight? Now, you have to be careful where you preach this message and take your own rope, because they could turn on you. And it'd be bad for them to use your own rope on you. Amen. But I got to thinking about that tug of war. In the tug of war, of course, there is an object. There's one group over here. There's a team over here. And what it is, they're trying to move the other. Do you realize that when you got up this morning, there was an enemy that started pulling against your life today, doing his best to move you from some things, move you from the place that God wants you to be. I thought about sometimes I see people in churches, and I know they're saved, but the fact of the matter is they don't seem like they walk with any victory, because they're continually losing the devil's tug of war. It seems like he's continually overcoming them. He's continually causing them to be discouraged and causing them to walk in defeat. But it's never been God's will for you to walk in defeat. It's never been God's will for you to lose in that battle, because he's the one, hallelujah, that can give victory in the devil's tug of war. Amen. You see, there was a day when I was pulling on the wrong end of the rope. There was a day when I was pulling for the world, with the world. I was pulling for the flesh, and I didn't know any better. But praise God for one night when an old man of God, Brother Clarence Stanfield, he's in heaven now. Brother Stanfield was preaching in revival meeting. I was a 9-year-old boy. And that night, praise God, I switched ends of the rope. Amen. That night I got saved by the grace of Almighty God. And I've not always pulled like I ought to, but thank God I've always been on the right end of the rope. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. I don't know about you. Praise God. Aren't you glad for the day that Jesus saved you? But I got to thinking about that. In a tug of war, if you're going to win, you got to have some things. You say, preacher, what do you have to have if you're going to win a tug of war? Number one, the main thing, you got to have some traction. In other words, where your feet's planted is of utmost importance in winning a tug of war. And a lot of people say, well, I'm strong. I believe I can handle it. You may be strong. You may be one of these bodybuilders. Man, you got muscles on top of muscles. But I don't care how strong you are. If your feet begin to slip in a tug of war, I don't care how strong you are, you're not going to win, because your feet have to be firmly planted. Amen. I see a lot of people today, the reason they don't have victory is because their feet are not firmly planted in the house of God. Amen. You can't have victory in your life just showing up once in a while to the house of God. You can't have victory in your life if you don't get a steady dose of the Word of God. Hallelujah to His name. But thank God for that crowd whose feet are planted upon a rock. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm on the Rock of Ages tonight. I'm glad he's my rock. Hallelujah to his name. I heard a preacher on the radio one day, and I didn't know what kind of preacher he was. I listened to him. He was doing all right for a little while. He was talking about, said, there's a day the Lord picked me up out of the miry clay and put my feet on a rock. I said, hallelujah. Thank God for that. And then he went on a little further, and he said, now, he said, after I'm on the rock, it's up to me to stay on it. That's what he said. He said, because if I'm not careful, I'll fall off of it. That's what he said. And I thought, Lord, I don't know what kind of rock he's on, because the one I'm on's so big, ain't no way you can fall off of it. How in the world are you going to fall off of a rock that, I mean, fills the universe? How are you going to fall off of something so big? I said, the only time I've ever fell is on the rock, not off of it. Amen. There's been a few times I've stumbled. There's been a few times I've failed. But thank God I was always on the rock. Hallelujah to his name. I'm glad my feet's planted on the rock tonight. Oh, yeah, you got to have traction if you're going to win in a tug of war. You got to have your feet planted. And then number two, tell you what'll help you win is have a little teamwork on your end.
Boy, this here ought to kill this camp meeting right dead. It's 4 o'clock right here. If there's ever been a day we need to pull together, it's today. The devil's done a good job running us in our little corner, in our little part of the world, and we're doing our thing when all the while what God wants us to do every now and then, just like we're doing here tonight. Come and grab a hold of the rope together, amen. Say we're in this thing together. Hallelujah to His name. Thank God for some teamwork at the house of God. Do you realize we need to help one another pull in these days? The burdens of life are so heavy on the children of God nowadays. Every now and then when you see some brother or sister in Christ that's under a heavy load, y'all just go up to them and say, if you'll move over a little bit, give me a little bit of that rope, I'll help you pull. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. We ought to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ is what the Bible says. Amen. I'll tell you one thing right now. I like what one preacher said. He said, we're like a bunch of bananas. We better stick together. We'll all get skinned. Amen. Can I say to you, praise God, it's about time that some of us got on the team together. Amen. And said, by the grace of God, we're not enemies. We're not fighting each other. We got a common opponent and we're all pulling in the same direction. Hallelujah to His name. Oh yes, I think about that, their teamwork. I spend a lot of my ministry traveling around trying to encourage preachers. I preach in revival meetings and I'll go in some little old church and a preacher so discouraged, and I tell you, I sometimes feel like my whole mission that week is there to just grab a hold of the rope and help that weary man of God pull just a little bit. Can I say to you, praise God, there's ever been a day we ought to think about our brother and sister in Christ. We ought to think about the church down the hill or across the road or the church down the way. I'm telling you one thing right now. When I hear about something good, I ought to rejoice with them. When I hear something bad, I ought to pray for them. Amen. Can I say to you, if there's ever been a day we need to work together, pull together, bind together, I'd hate to finish this thing out and the Lord show up and a bunch of men of God that couldn't even shake one another's hand in these last days. I'll tell you what we need. We need some preachers who will love one another, encourage one another, stand with one another. Hallelujah to His name. Oh yeah, praise God. Oh yes. I was preaching a meeting, in a revival meeting in the country church. I'd been in that church probably 10 years in a row. Good man of God that was there. And I walked in that Monday night just to start the meeting, and I could sense something was different in this church when I walked in. I didn't know what it was, had no clue. I had a message, I thought, for that meeting that night. I went in and sat down on the front row, and the longer I sat there, the Holy Ghost said, what you planned on preaching tonight ain't it. I hate when God does that to me. I kind of wish He'd get with my party sometimes, you know, and kind of go along with me. But I'm sitting there on the front row and I said, I don't know what it is. I have no clue. But there's something. I said, I don't know what it is. And God said, well, what you got right there? Just throw it out. Nix it right now. I said, all right, God. Since it's your idea, what's plan B? He said, you know what it is. And all of a sudden it hit me. That rope was in my car. You see, I'm the kind of preacher. I preach a lot of these illustrative type messages. When I get pulled over by the highway patrol, I have a lot of splaining to do. I mean, I do. I mean, when you carry, I preached a message on over there in Psalm where it said a man was famous according as he lifted up axes against the thick trees. And I take an axe with me. So when you got a rope and an axe in your car and you got all kind of other weird looking stuff, it's hard to explain that when the highway patrolman pulls you over. But I had it in my car. Amen. I was telling one of the preachers a funny story. If you travel the roads like I do, I've had a lot of fellowship with them boys beside the highway. That blue light fellowship. These little old towns in North Carolina, every one of them speed traps. And they're looking for a man with a Tennessee tag on his truck. I was headed to Winston-Salem to preach in a revival meeting, and I'd been at the Johnson City Hospital all day with a family who had a family member dying. And I was wore out and had to drive 2 hours and something to come and preaching up at Haines Baptist Church up there. I was coming down the hill there as I was headed to Boone, wasn't even paying attention to how fast I was going. All I knew was I had to get there to preach that night. All of a sudden, a state trooper passed by me. I looked down at my speedometer. I looked at the speed limit sign. I said, well, okay. So I went down and pulled over. I saw him turn around, so I knew who he was coming after. I just pulled over. When he got there, flipped on his lights, I already had my license and registration stuck out the window. I know the drill. And he took him. He came back to the car in just a minute, and he went to explain this. And, Mr. Fletcher, you can go to court and you can challenge this, or, you know, go through the whole routine. And he said, would you mind if I ask you something, Mr. Fletcher? I said, no, sir, what's that? He said, where are you going dressed up like you are this time of evening? I said, well, officer, just to be honest with you, I'm a preacher. And I said, I'm headed to preach in revival meeting at Winston-Salem. And I said, I've been at the Johnson City Hospital all day with a family that's got a family member dying. And I said, officer, I was just tired, and I was coming down that hill, wasn't paying no attention how fast I was going. Never had a reaction like this in all my years traveling on the road. That state trooper turned as white as a sheet. He stepped back from the car with the ticket in his hand, raised both hands in the air and said, oh, my God! I'm going to hell. I just wrote a tired preacher a ticket. He did. He said it. As a part of my flesh once said, you mighty right you're going to hell if you don't tear that up right there. But I didn't. I didn't. I said, no, man. I said, you're just doing your job. I said, you guys got a tough job. You're just trying to keep people safe. He said, preacher, I can't tear it up. I've done wrote it. I said, I didn't ask you to tear it up. But I did think about saying, now look at my face real good. If you ever pull me over again, you remember this. Can I say to you, sometimes the burdens that preachers carry are heavy. Sometimes it helps if somebody comes along, grabs hold of the end of the rope, and helps them, amen. That teamwork.
Yeah.
Do you realize in your church you can grab the end of the rope and help the man of God that serves among you? I've been blessed with some of the best deacons on the planet. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the men that have been chosen to be deacons, and everybody worries about all the qualifications, and they ought to meet the qualifications. But I tell them the first qualification is that one of being filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of them can fit the marriage qualification in these days, but there ain't many of them can fit the being filled with the Holy Spirit qualification. I was at the house one Saturday morning, minding my own business. I heard a knock at the door, and here was one of my deacons standing there with a bag in his hand. He just stuck it in the door and said, God bless you, preacher. I said, what's this? He said, there's some steaks in there for you and your family, some baked potatoes, and some stuff to make your salad for dinner this evening. And I said, what's prompted this? He said, well, preacher, he said, I was at the grocery store and said, I love steak. He said they had them high-dollar steaks on sale. And he said, I grabbed me four of them, one for me, one for my wife, one for my son, one for my daughter. He said, I went over to the produce section, and I got the biggest bacon potatoes they had, four of them. He said, I got enough stuff to make four salads. And he said, I got in line at the cash register, and the Holy Ghost said, I bet your preacher and his family like steak too. Don't you hate when the Holy Ghost talks to you in the grocery line? He said, preacher, I pulled my buggy out of line. I went back and got four more steaks. I went and got four more of them big bacon potatoes, and I got enough salad for four more people. He said, God's been good to me, preacher.
I just want to help hold the end of the rope for you. Amen. Can I say to you, praise God, the burden gets heavy on you, preacher. The burden gets hard sometimes. And every now and then, just a little gesture, somebody grab a hold of the rope and said, preacher, I know you're tired. I know you're weary. I know, preacher, sometimes you get discouraged. You don't think you're doing any good. You don't think nobody's listening. But praise God, hallelujah, stay in the fight. Grab hold of the rope, amen, and do God's will, amen. You got to have some traction. If you're going to win, you got to have some teamwork. And then I tell you, you're going to have some tenacity. What do you mean by that, preacher? Some toughness. We are the softest generation of Christians that's ever lived on planet Earth. I preached a message at the church here a while back on, and I'd heard this phrase, and I did not realize it came from out of World War I. An old general, one of the French commanders, was trying to tell him to retreat because didn't look good. And that old general from the United States Army looked at him and said, suck it up, buttercup. I titled my message that. That got all their attention that Sunday morning. I said, there's a lot of people in these days, all the least little thing, you want to flop out and quit and fall down and die, when all the while there's Christians around this world that's paying a price with their very life. Here we are on the bed of ease in this nation, and we take for granted the liberties we've had. Can I say to you, praise God, you better toughen up. It's going to get harder. The battle's going to get hotter, amen. It's not going to get easier all the way to the end, but hallelujah. One of these days we're getting out of here. One of these days we're going to a better land. Hallelujah. Just stay in the fight. Just stay a hold of your end of the rope. Hallelujah to his name. Got to have some toughness. Toughness. And then I tell you, if you're going to win a tug of war, you can't win it without this. You got to have the anchor man. You know, on them teams, you got, ever how many you got on your team, there's one person that's called the anchor man. Usually he's the biggest guy and he's at the end of the rope. I got news for you. The day I got saved, I got the ultimate anchor man. Which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both steadfast and sure. Hallelujah. David could say so boldly, I shall not be moved. Not because David was strong enough to not be moved. Not because David was smart enough not to be moved. But he said, I'll tell you why I'm not going to be moved. He said, I've got the anchor man in my corner. I've got somebody on my side that's got the power, the authority. Hallelujah. And I've got victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen them tug of wars, and sometimes they'll get them two teams, they'll stretch that rope out and they got a flag, they'll hang on that thing to see which one pulls it across. In other words, there's something hanging in the balance in a tug of war. Do you realize today that the future of some are hanging in the balance according to how we pull? I thought to myself, sometimes people come to hear me preach and they don't even understand how I got where I'm at. I'll tell you how I got where I'm at. Because when I was a little old boy, growed up on a little dirt road there in the hills of Tennessee, there were some people that loved God that was holding the end of the rope pulling for me. There was an old preaching uncle that's been in heaven almost 30 years, had the power of God on his life, that loved me as a kid, encouraged me. I've got an old preaching daddy that's in heaven that taught me how to sing, taught me how to do what I do. And I'll tell you what, my old praying granny used to go through the front door. My old granny sitting there, their Bible open on her lap in the middle of the day, tears dropping on it, amen. I'll tell you why I've got victory tonight. Because somebody, when I wasn't able to pull, somebody was pulling for me. I wonder tonight, who's pulling for your children? Who's pulling for your grandchildren? Amen. Oh, I tell you, this world would like to have every one of them, but praise God, you ought to determine in your heart you're going to grab a hold of the rope, hallelujah, and do God's will, amen. I was talking to our brother over here that I just met this week. We was talking before the service. Saw him up in the choir last night with his little grandbaby up in his arm. That little old baby don't have no clue about what's going on in the choir right now. But I'll tell you what I saw when I looked up there. I saw a grandpa that was holding the end of the rope.
and said, she may not know much about it right now, but there's going to come a day she's going to look back and she's going to say, you know what? Somebody, I'll tell you why I sing today. Because when I was a little old boy, Dad said, get in the choir, boy. Hey, when I was a little old boy, Dad said, get your guitar, boy. We're going to go sing. Little did I know, God, he was putting things in me. He was holding the rope, hallelujah. He was pulling for me, thank God. I don't know about you, the future of somebody. There's lost people out there. If you don't pull for them, there ain't nobody going to pull for them. There's people out there who are hopeless tonight. And I'll tell you, we as God's people ought to grab a hold our end of the rope and said, by the grace of God, we're going to pull for them tonight. Amen. There's people that you can reach that nobody else can reach. There's people God puts in your path. I believe that. Give you an opportunity. The future of some are hanging in the balance. Do you realize the faith of some is hanging in the balance? They're watching how you pull on your job. They're watching how you pull at the school. They're watching. They want to know if what you say you have on Sunday is real on Monday. I've got an old boy in my church. He's one of my deacons. We prayed for him for 10 years before he ever got saved. His little wife used to ride the church van to church. It was her prayer, Lord. Every time she'd come to church, pray for my husband and my boys that they'll be saved and be in the house of God. She got diagnosed with breast cancer. She was losing that battle. He ended up coming to the house of God because she had breast cancer. Next thing I know, the old boy got saved by the grace of God. Took a lot to get him there, but he got there. She graduated on to heaven. But now I look back and I see two pews filled with her prayers answered sitting back there. A husband and grandbaby she never got to see. You see, them babies hadn't been born while she is here. But she is a pulling not only for her sons, but her four sons' children. Hallelujah to his name. And she didn't let go of the rope. She didn't get discouraged. She said, I'll ride that church van. If he won't go, I'll go. Amen. Let me tell you something right now. The faith of some is hanging in the balance. But what I was going to tell you about this old boy, after he got a dose of it, he got a good dose. His wife passed away. Him and his son run a little mechanic shop, a little out of the way. You got to mean to go there. Just a little mom and pop place. And now he wants to witness to everybody he sees. You think about that. Somebody getting saved and wanting to tell other people what the Lord's done for them. He came to me at church one day and he said, Preacher, he said, you know, I try to witness everybody comes in the shop there. And he said, this is a rough fella came in there. Said he's an older guy. Said he's a Vietnam veteran. Said he's rough. You can tell he's had a rough life. And he said, I started trying to talk to the Lord or talk about the Lord to him. And he said he didn't want to hear none of it. Said he just, I don't believe in that religious stuff. He said, said he just was pretty gruff about it. And he said, well, I kind of backed off. I didn't push it. He said, I just kept, you know, doing work for him and said, every now and then I'd mention something again about the Lord and he just turned me off again. And he said, Preacher, the other day he was down there in the shop. He said, in my little shop there, he said, right beside the door, he said, I've got one of them dry erase boards that I would normally write the jobs we had to do that day on that dry erase board to keep me reminded of it. And he said, I was down there at the shop the other day and said, I was just walking around there thinking about the Lord and thinking about the good things of God. And he said, all of a sudden my eye caught that dry erase board and said, the Lord laid it on my heart to just erase everything I had off of there and put a prayer list up there so that when I'm working around the shop and when my eyes would catch it, he said, I'd just go ahead and I'd look up there. He said, I wrote at the top of it, pray for my pastor, pray for my church, pray for my family members. And he said, I made a list, a prayer list right there. He said, I didn't think anything about it. He said, that old rough fella came down. I did a job for him and said, we got through and he paid me and left. And said, I was working. It's about an hour and a half later and said, the phone rang. And he said, when I answered, it says, that old fella on the line, he said, I thought, Lord, have I messed up? What did I do wrong? And said, the old fella said, Lindsay, that's the man's name is Lindsay. He said, Lindsay, did you see what I done on the door? And Lindsay said, I was confused. I had no clue what the man was talking about. He said, did you see what I did on the door. And he thought, well, what have you done on the door? He said, I don't know. Let me go look. And he said, I walked outside. I looked on the door. There wasn't nothing on the door. He said, I was so confused. He said, I walked back in and said, I said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, I ain't nothing on the door. And said, the old fellow said, no, beside the door. And he said, I looked up there on that prayer list, and that old fellow had wrote his name at the bottom of it. Let me tell you something right now. Business is about to pick up in a lost man's life when he goes to write his own name on the prayer list. Amen. I'm going to tell you why that happened. That old boy had come in there to get some work done, but every time he came in there, he saw some old boys that was a hold of their end of the rope. He saw somebody that was real. He saw somebody that every time he came there, all he wanted to do was talk about the Lord to him. Amen. I got news for you. The faith of somebody might be hanging in the balance. You don't think they're watching you at work, but friend, they're watching you. You don't think that neighbor sees every time you get in the car and head to church, but they're watching you. Let me tell you something right now. It's no time to throw the rope down now. It's no time to slack up now. I say grab hold of the rope. Amen. I say stay in the fight. Keep pulling for the glory of Almighty God. There's a lot of folks needing help. Do you realize the fundamentals are hanging in the balance today? Have you ever seen a day that churches are being moved away from what we've always preached, what we've always taught? Being moved away, slowly being eroded and pulled. Well, preacher, we're living in a modern age. You just can't reach them like you used to. Preaching will still get the job done. It'll still get the job done. See, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody, the world has sold us this idea that in order to get a young generation, the pastor has to be hip and cool. No, they don't need somebody. They don't need the preacher to look like this world. They need a man of God that has been faithful and stayed true and stood by the stuff. Amen. Preached the word of God and loved them. Sometimes the weight of being a pastor, and when you look back in the pews and you see children sitting there, Brother Hobbs, been a good while in your place, Brother Mustin, Brother Mashburn. I was up there the other day, and I love kids. We got a lot of kids at the church. And sometimes when them little old youngins look at me, I see the look in their eyes, and it's almost like they've been taught to respect God's man. I don't deserve it. And I was sitting there in a service. Matter of fact, it was at a funeral service. And one of the family was sitting up there, and there's this little old boy, just about, he's probably 2 years old. And everybody, he just sitting there as quiet as he could be in that funeral service. And all of a sudden I looked, and he strained around the corner to look back so he could fix his eyes on me while the service was going on. That little fellow, the stare of that little child, I thought, oh God, what a burden, and God, what an obligation, and what a responsibility. I said, oh, let me tell you something. If nobody else pulls for them, we ought to, men of God. I had a little girl. She don't get to come to church all the time. She comes from a broken home situation. Mom or dad, neither one will go to church, do anything, just a mess. And when she gets to come, she has to come with great-grandparents. And they're both up in years, and their health is bad. But it was one of those Sundays that she got to come because the great-grandmother was able to come and bring her. And the great-grandmother brought that little girl. She's about 6 years old, I guess. And she had an envelope. And that grandmother brought her to me and said, preacher, said, this young'un's got something. She's wrote you a letter and said, I don't know what's in it. She sealed it up. And it was a sealed up envelope. This little 5 or 6 year old girl. I said, thank you, honey. I took it back and I sat down at my desk in my study in between Sunday school and preaching time and opened it up, and it's just in the little writing of a child, scraggly writing. And I love it when children bring me them pictures.
You got a collection of them. I got a story about that. I can tell you that in a minute. But anyway, that day when I read this little letter, it said, Preacher Leonard, I love you, and you're a great preacher. And then it said this, I am sorry that I've not been able to come to church. I thought she apologized to me because she's not been here. And she can't get here by herself. And I said, I got members that's got two cars in the driveway and they ain't never apologized to me for not coming. And that little girl, she said, I'm sorry that I've not been here. I can't come all the time. But she said, I love your church. And I thought to myself, I said, that little youngin's in a broken life situation. And I said, Mama and Daddy ain't a-pulling for her. She got hardly nobody in this world to pull for her. But when she comes to the house of God, I want her to know there's a preacher down there that's on her end of the rope. And I want her to know that it's somebody that loves her soul. Amen. I was going to tell you that story. I get them pictures drawn all the time. Back in high school, I was an artist. I thought I was going to go into a career in art some way. I used to do a lot of painting, drawing. Matter of fact, did cartoons for our local paper, editorial cartoons for a good while. Had my own characters and everything. And so I know a lot about art. And in school, we'd study the masters and the masterpieces. You know, Picasso and Da Vinci. Masterpieces. And I was sitting at my desk one day and I had a stack of them papers with them kids, and it's reoccurring themes on all those pictures. And I held up that picture of that little stick man, that heart that said, I love you, the cross. And I said, that's a church house masterpiece. And I wrote a song about it called A Church House Masterpiece. I said, he came running down the aisle as they said the last amen. With a crumpled piece of paper he was holding in his hand. It was filled with simple lines of the pictures he had drawn from his mind as he had listened as the preacher preached along. It said, I love you with a heart, and I knew just what it meant. Just a simple little message that I knew was heaven sent from the heartbeat of a child, just to set my mind at ease, just like the ones that he had drawn in a church house masterpiece. It's a church house masterpiece from the vision of a child, where everything is beautiful and everybody smiles, where the cross is always standing for the truth and for the right, with Jesus leading sinners from the darkness to the light, where a soul can leave his burden down at the Savior's feet. These are just a few things in a church house masterpiece. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm glad, praise God. Just keep holding on to the rope. Sometimes they come through the doors and they say, Preacher, won't you change this or change that? And I'm not against change, don't get me wrong. Like I said, old-time religion didn't just start in the 1960s. But I'm going to tell you something, I'm not changing the book I preach. I'm not changing. You see, the thing about it is, you can find all that other anywhere you want to go. There's people in these days that are hungry for something that's real. Just stay a hold of the rope, preacher. You say it's not popular. God never called us to be popular, did he? You say, preacher, it's getting harder. Yes, it is. But let's stay in the battle, stay in the fight. David said, because I've set the Lord before me. If we'll keep our eyes on him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, if we'll keep our eyes on him and understand, because he is at my right hand, no matter how the enemy assails, I shall not be moved. You do realize tonight the reason we're all even here If the devil could have moved us all today, he would have. If the devil could have moved us all today, he would have. But the fact of the matter is, the anchor man has kept us in place. He's given us victory. Hallelujah to his name. Father, we thank you tonight for what you've done for us in the meeting. I pray, God, you'd help us tonight. God, would you just pick up our end of the rope? Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that's weary. Lord, it may be somebody just needs to help them pull a little bit. Maybe a weary preacher here tonight, discouraged. God, I pray, would you help them in this place? Father, there may be some mother, some father here tonight. Lord, would you sink in the responsibility they have for those children? Lord, to take care of the burden and pull for those children. Lord, there may be grandparents here tonight that them grandbabies are dependent on them. Lord, to keep a hold of the rope, to keep doing God's will, to keep pulling for them. I wonder as we stand tonight, our heads bowed. I want to ask you tonight, as God spoke to you tonight, somebody